Father, I give your name praise and glory and honor.
Privilege. My name is June Rogers, and I am so excited this morning to be leading the Bible study, because as I always say, I am also in this class just like you are. So let us begin with a word of prayer. Lord God, we thank you so much for this opportunity. It is indeed a privilege to be able to come before your throne this morning. We are just so grateful that you are in the answering prayer business. No matter where we are right now, no matter where we were last night when we may have been on our knees and praying to you for guidance, for comfort, whatever the situation is, you are always there. We are just so grateful. And so you brought this group of people this morning and this time on this day, August 14, 2021, who are listening in live. But then, Lord, there will be people who will listen in the future. So we ask that you would give them a word and enlightenment in their time. So as we delve into this book of Galatians, we ask for enlightenment, and we ask that the Holy Spirit will guide us individually so that we will get exactly out of this word what you want each and every one of us to get individually as well as collectively. We love you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay. So for those of you who've heard me teach before, you know I always like to try to start out with something kind of interesting to get you to, you know, lean in, and everybody kind of knows I'm corny too. So this would you rather, there's always some cool questions, and I came up with one that I think is a good way for us to reflect a little bit as we go into Galatians. So here is your would you rather question. If you had to be confined, would you rather be in a facility where there are real walls that you cannot escape, or would you rather be in a setting with no walls but with an electric fence where anytime you get close to the boundaries, you receive an electric shock. And for those of you who are just listening, you don't get to say you would just rather not be confined. Okay, so pick one. So, of course, when I came up with this question, I was thinking of the electric collars that they have for dogs. Perhaps you've seen them. It's a way to get animals from wandering off the owner's property. And I don't care how much you coax a dog, once they've received enough of those shocks to recognize their boundaries, they will sit on the safe side. I absolutely saw this before. You could have their favorite food. If you on the other side of that, they're not going to cross over. Although I want us to focus on the freedom part of this, there's something we can learn about boundaries, too, if only we would take what we learn and put it into practice. But back to freedom. These self-imposed prisons that we put ourselves and others in are real, despite the freedom that God has given us. You will see as we get into Galatians, the concept of freedom will be explored. So let's get into it. First, I'd like to thank Pastor O for that great introduction to the book of Galatians that he gave last Saturday. He helped me remember to focus on the important parts of this book. We always need to focus on the big picture, the purpose of something, even as we look at the steps themselves. In other words, you've got to see that there is a force, even if the trees are trying to crowd out the view. Pastor highlighted that Paul offered an argument for grace. He provided us some context that Paul anticipated the attacks on his ministry in places like Acts chapter 3. A good lesson for us is to expect attacks and be prepared so we can defend the faith like Paul did. So Paul's reason for writing this book was to get the Galatians back on track. After he left the Galatian churches, Jewish Christian fanatics moved in. They sought to undermine the authority of Paul. They argued that they were the ones that saw Jesus and that they were with Jesus while Paul came late. And of course, they pointed out the truth that Paul used to persecute the church. Sadly, the Galatians were taken in by these arguments. They, as we, need to be careful with slick-talking people who make arguments that seem sound. Got a question, are they really? Against these boastings and false apostles, Paul defends his apostolic authority and ministry. In the first two chapters, he defends his office in the gospel, which he received not from men, but from the Lord Jesus Christ by special revelation. Paul takes pride in his ministry, as should we, when we know it is from God. His praise is not to himself, but to the praise of God. And again, we should hold ourselves to that same standard. Interestingly, he brings up his titles and says that he does not want to be known as Paul of Tarsus, but as Paul the Apostle, an ambassador of Christ. He speaks of the call, not of men, but from God. People, this is no small thing. We must recognize that the calling of God is superior to any of the so-called highest people of the land giving us a title or a job or bestowing lavish praise on us. It is tempting, but if we recognize it in advance and protect ourselves, it will become easier. It all comes down to acknowledging the reality of the situation. It feels good when people pat us on the back, but it doesn't really mean anything. Either we did what we were supposed to do or not. Either we're doing it to the glory of God or not. Tell yourself the truth and act accordingly. I consulted a few Bible commentaries in preparing to teach this book of the Bible, including the one at the beginning of my New Living Translation Bible, the Martin Luther commentary, and Tony Evans commentary. Not surprisingly, they basically said the same types of things, but in a different way. You know, it's important to think of your audience as you're speaking and writing, just like Paul did when he wrote Galatians. He was writing to a church that he cared about. They were like his kids, and he certainly did not want them to go astray. He had had the kind of relationship with them where he could comfort them. Ought not parents to have the kind of relationship with their kids so that when they're moving in the wrong direction, or if they're not listening, or if they are listening to some foolish talk, they can be confronted? That's what we want, right? That was the setting of what was going on with this letter to the Galatians. So I was saying that I consulted these commentaries. I like that one in my Bible refers to the book of Galatians as the Charter of Christian Freedom. I'll say that again, Charter of Christian Freedom. That sure can get you in the mood to want to open up this package to see what's inside, right? Who doesn't want freedom? You see, Judaism had taught them that they were tied to the law, which we know can be stifling. The law is basically a list of don't do that. don't lie, don't steal, don't worship other gods, don't commit adultery, etc. Think about when you hear someone tell you don't. They're telling you you should not do something. There's a part of you that gets annoyed just because you feel like you're being told what to do. I think that is part of what even happened in the garden. God told Adam and Eve not to eat the fruit, and they balked. It's just part of our sin nature to be rebellious. So clearly, the early church would be confused with what is right, the right thing to do, just as we are today. Leaning into Christ does not mean that we totally abandon the early teaching about what is right or wrong, just that we do not have to be worried about the consequence if we slip up. That's where grace comes in. That, of course, is not an invitation to do as much wrong as we want to either. Paul addressed that bad approach with a question in Romans 6 when he asked, shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? And his response was, certainly not. God sent Jesus to die for us so we have freedom, knowing that our sins have been dealt with. And that way we do not have to always be concerned with settling the score, so concerned that we have already blown our chance with God. We can't blow our chance with God. That is so awesome. Thank you, Lord. That is simply impossible. The main purpose of Paul writing to the Galatians was to bring the Galatians back to the pure gospel as they were mixing in with these Judaizers, an extreme Jewish faction that taught that Gentile Christians had to submit to Jewish laws and traditions in addition to believing in Christ. I'll just stop there for a minute. Anytime anyone wants to add something to, this is what you have to do. If it's beyond believing in Christ, accepting him as your Lord and Savior, believing it in your heart, confessing it with your mouth, then it's not of the true gospel. You know, when I first got what I consider really saved, I was drawn to a church where they worship freely in a way that seems so different than what I had seen before. People at Faith Christian Worship Center were waving their hands in worship to God. The music was contemporary and not old folky light. When the minister spoke, they talked plainly or not using spooky, loud, artificial sounding voices like whooping. They read the word and reasoned with me. Bible studies, specifically the New Believers classes, were focused on topics and designed to get me to have a clear understanding of the Bible, getting me to look inward instead of judging others. People came as they were. There was no dress code. After my first visit of pure freedom and worship, I wanted more. Listen to me. God has set the stage with Jesus setting us free that we should not put up roadblocks where he has not. But sadly, we do. And Paul saw the dangers of how this can confuse and bind people in a way that the Lord God has not done. And so he wrote this letter, building a case for Christian liberty. We are saved by faith, not by keeping the law. So as we delve into these short six chapters of Galatians, I will share with you what my impressions were in my own personal Bible study. As I told you before, my approach in reading the word is trying to figure out how I can be a doer of the word. While just do it sounds good if things were really that easy, everyone would weigh their ideal weight because everyone would only eat what was good for them and everyone would engage in rigorous exercise daily. Again, just do it sounds good, but is it real? Still, we do know that we can just do it because God would not prescribe for us to do something if it were impossible. So as I said, when I study the word, I look for clues about how we can do what is being asked of us. In Galatians, much of what Paul is asking us to do is to reason with him about freedom. We can note three specific areas of freedom: freedom from the law, freedom from the power of sin, and freedom to serve our living God. In the spirit of what is being asked of us, and specifically to answer the how-to question in practicing freedom from the law, freedom over the power of sin, and freedom to serve God, I identified a few steps that would help us get on track. Number one, look, see, pay attention, focus. If you just ignore what's going on and don't notice it, it's just going to keep being a mess. Paul basically got out a billboard with this book and calling the Galatians to pay attention. Number two, use logic and reason and not let people with their own agendas come along and tell us things contrary to Christ. In other words, think for yourself. We are in so much trouble in this nation right now because people are not thinking for themselves. They're hitching themselves up to false religious teachers, and letting them think for them. As we move through this book, please notice in several places where Paul challenges people to think for themselves. He does not ask them to blindly follow him. He says things like, did I ask you to take care of me? These are tests of, if I were like that, then perhaps you could claim that I am the monster they say I am. But it's not true. We need to put questions to our leaders, and we also need to ask questions about our leaders. Number three, confront. Not only should we use logic, but where there is a problem or an issue, God expects it to be addressed. That includes confronting others as well as our own stinking thinking. Really, we got to start with our own before we can even reach out. Number four, have faith that God will do his part. We often get into trouble because instead of doing the things that we're supposed to do, such as using logic and confronting, we want to go beyond that into God's territory. In other words, we want to help God. Mm-mm, that's not going to work. And lastly, wait on God. Wait on God as in dealing with others. We cannot change anyone, but we can avoid them. We do not have to listen to lies or other rhetoric. We do not have to seek such persons out. To keep allowing someone to poison our minds and hearts when God has shown us through his word and Holy Spirit that they are bad news is not how you enjoy the abundant life. It's not how you get peace. It's not how you're going to even be able to think about the word and speak and listen. So with Galatians 1, what's going on here? Here Paul is telling his story. He's asking us the reason with him about his ministry. It's the beginning of him comparing and contrasting those religious leaders that were leading them astray. He is setting up the standard of Jesus Christ. We should ask ourselves these same types of questions from time to time, as well as applying the yardstick to the religious leaders that we are following. So having discussed this book as a whole and a method of study, let's read. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation, Galatians chapter 1, verse 1, it is written. This letter is from Paul, an apostle. I was not appointed by any group of people or any human authority, but by Jesus Christ himself and by God the Father who raised Jesus from the dead. All the brothers and sisters here join me in sending this letter to the churches of Galatia. May God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ give you grace and peace. Jesus gave his life for our sins, just as God our Father planned, in order to rescue us from this evil world in which we live. All glory to God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, my. I did not expect to stop so soon to highlight something. But did you hear what I just read in verse 4? Just as God our Father planned. So whose plan was it for Jesus to come down here and make a way for us? Not his, not yours, and not mine. It says that it was God our Father who planned this. God does not think like us. Remember, his thoughts are as far away from ours as the heavens are from the earth, and he does not operate like us. Let us always remember, just as he told us, that God's plan is always superior to our plans. Are your plans always designed for peace, not of evil, and to give others a future and a hope? Well, I know mine is not. But in Jeremiah 29, God says that his plans are always good like that. And here in verse 4, we see that God's plan in sending Jesus was to restore us from the evil world in which we live. Indeed, thank you, Lord. Let's keep reading verses 6 to 10. I am shocked that you are turning away so soon from God who called you to himself through the loving mercy of Christ. You are following a different way that pretends to be the good news, but is not the good news at all. You are being fooled by those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. Let God's curse fall on anyone, including us or even an angel from heaven, who preaches a different kind of good news than the one we preach to you. I say again what we have said before. If anyone preaches any other good news than the one you welcome, let that person be cursed. Obviously, I am not trying to win the approval of people, but of God. If pleasing people were my goal, I would not be Christ's servant. So soon indeed. In verse 6, Paul said that he is shocked that they turned away so soon. Last week in church, Pastor O described how new Christians come in fired up to follow the Lord and do right, and then before you know it, they fell into the trap of the evil one where they're doing the things described in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 to 5. And that's some foul stuff, like being proud, ungrateful, and unforgiving. You look at verse 5, you will see after Paul describes how awful people can be, is his advice for how to avoid all of this. Namely, stay away from people like that. So you see, Paul is consistent. He's telling the Galatians in verse 7 to stay away from those who deliberately twist the truth concerning Christ. The word that jumps out to me is deliberate. So these are not people who do not know any better about Christ and the good news. They know better. As I studied this, I wonder about why these Judaizers who knew better were so determined to drag people back to the law. Why, for example, were they so determined to circumcise others? I think it probably may have to do with them looking down on others who were not circumcised, as if to say, nah, 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 boo, boo, I am and you're not. It may have been, since I was inflicted with pain, then you need to be too. It's sort of a pledging type mentality, which I can tell you is quite dangerous. This thinking is one, you can't be in part of our club unless you've gone through the same ritualistic fire that we have. Never mind the fact that it may have been wrong. I saw this a lot in the workplace. Discrimination is terrible. When I worked in my old good government job, there had been so much discrimination that the courts had to get involved. Older black agents had brought a plantation-like mentality to the attention of the courts where their skills were being utilized by whites as if they were field hands. White agents would basically stay in safe zones as the one controlling the case, while the black agents were subservient to them and having to work in an undercover capacity. If this were not bad enough, the credit of the black agents' work went to promoting the careers of the white agents. The black agents were denied promotion, with leadership saying that their work, from which the entire case rested, did not count. So I've told you enough to get you to see that this was wrong, right? Now stay with me. The judges agreed and tried to right this wrong. They leveled the playing field so that black agents who were in the trenches could get credit for their work, meaning that they could get promoted just as fast as the white agents. So everything is good now, right? Wrong. Here's the horrible part. As a newer generation agent with discriminatory obstacles removed, I was able to get promoted. But then I noticed something horrible as time went on. The group of black agents that were next in line after me complained to me about another type of oppression. And guess who was doing it? Other older black agents. This first generation of black agents who truly had to climb up the rough side of the mountain were now requiring other agents to jump through the same discriminatory hoops because they had to go through the fire. So wait. Was not the work so that the new generation could be free? Well, this lesson taught me that if you don't do the right thing for the right reason, who are you really freeing? Not others, and not even really yourself. Jesus suffered and died so we can be free. To ask others to go back to the law is just wrong. Here's something to reflect on. Why are you doing or saying what you're doing, what you're saying? Why were the Judaizers saying what they were saying? There had to be something in it for them. That's the answer. I think they wanted people to look to them and not to Christ. They were exalting themselves. When we find ourselves trying to convince someone of something that is not of Christ, we need to ask ourselves the hard question of why. Are you telling a love interest that they don't need to be concerned about old fuddy-duddy word of God that says that they should not commit adultery or that God will forgive you because you want to sleep with them? Is that enough when we lie to ourselves to justify our own sin? But when we start doing it to others, they have every right, as Paul instructed, to not have anything to do with us. It's dangerous. And thinking back on our steps, remember, we have to confront this type of danger. In verse 8, Paul says that a curse should be on those who preach another gospel. He says it should be on anyone, including himself. Have you ever noticed that some say what awful things should happen to other people when they do wrong, but then they leave themselves out? They even sometimes go so far as to hypocritically say, get them, but not me. We have tons of examples in the political arena of how certain politicians want others to be held accountable for their actions or even make up stuff, but they themselves, indicate that they are above everything. These scriptures, indeed, all of the Bible, is just as applicable to our day as it was in biblical days. Let's finish reading chapter 1, starting at 11. Dear brothers and sisters, I want you to understand that the gospel message I preach is not based on mere human reasoning. I received my message from no human source, and no one taught me. Instead, I received it by direct revelation from Jesus Christ. You know what I was like when I followed the Jewish religion, how I violently persecuted God's church. I did my best to destroy it. I was far ahead of my fellow Jews in my zeal for the traditions of my ancestors. But even before I was born, God chose me and called me by his marvelous grace. Then it pleased him to reveal his son to me so that I would proclaim the good news about Jesus to the Gentiles. When this happened, I did not rush out to consult with any human being, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to consult with those who were apostles before I was. Instead, I went way into Arabia, and later I returned to the city of Damascus. Then 3 years later, I went to Jerusalem to get to know Peter, and I stayed with him for 15 days. The only other apostle I met at that time was James, the Lord's brother. I declare before God that I am writing to you is not a lie. What I am writing to you is not a lie. After that visit, I went north into the provinces of Syria and Sicily, and still the churches in Christ that are in Judea didn't know me personally. All they knew was that people were saying, the one who used to persecute us now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy, and they praise God because of me. The last part of this chapter is Paul giving a testimony about how he came to know Jesus and how their relationship thrived. It's compelling and it's convincing. It rings true because it's the same testimony he has consistently gave. It does not focus on making him look good. In fact, the part about him persecuting the church makes him look bad. He does not try to sugarcoat who he was before Christ. Neither should we. Everyone should be able to plainly tell others about who you were, as Pastor O quoted Tony Evans as asking, if someone accused you of being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to find you guilty? I sure hope so. I think in this short group of passages, Paul has presented enough evidence that he would be found guilty, especially with that last part in verses 23 and 24, and that people gave testimony that he, Paul, the very one who was persecuting them, was now preaching the very faith he tried to destroy. And here's the real thing that would attest to his Christianity in verse 24, and they praise God because of me. Wow, does anyone praise God because of you? That's where we want to get to, not having people praise us, but praising God because of us. So as we finish up on chapter 1, let's think about the one word that is threaded throughout the whole book, the word freedom. Let us remember that Satan sent leaders to bind them just like he does today. He says things like, don't take the vaccine and don't wear a mask. So, you know, we just got to recognize that Satan is just awful, okay? And he will do whatever he can do to try to separate us. But we got to reason together, okay? How can a person logically say both of those things, don't wear a mask, don't get the vaccine, and profess to love their neighbor? Even if you don't take the vaccine, I get it. But such a person will then usually insist on wearing a mask because even if they don't care enough to put others first, they're concerned about themselves. But is that in line with Jesus' teachings? Jesus tells us to love others even as I have loved you. We know that Jesus put his life on the line for us. So if we really want to be like Jesus, the question about masks or vaccines should be more about our brother and sisters than ourselves. The argument you hear, all you hear is I, and more. I have a right. I don't like how fast they came up with it. I don't want to wait. I don't trust this one or trust that one. I could go on. But where's the Christian approach to this? Like the argument that says I care about my brothers and sisters so much to try and stamp out this fire of a virus because many of them may not be strong enough to fight it. So I'll take the vaccine for their sakes. What if we did not have firefighters or police officers who are willing to run into harm's way to sacrifice, possibly even their lives, for their brothers and sisters? What if we didn't have healthcare workers willing to sacrifice being exposed to a deadly virus to care for those who are? I've listened to some of them in tears begging for relief, and now instead, before people were cheering them on and clapping at certain times of day and putting up signs, but now they're being browbeaten like they're the enemy. Some healthcare workers say they're being asked by people coming, they're asking people coming to hospital if they've been vaccinated, not to judge them, but to find out what kind of treatment to give them. But then they scream at them. People fuss at them. My God, Lord, help us to stop this nonsense. Let us see the enemy for who he is. And I notice that the time is ending. So I just want, from a reflection standpoint, let us just think about and remember who's the enemy. Let us examine ourselves this week and think, is there Judaizing in our life? Are there leaders who are saying things for their benefit but not for the benefit of Christianity or in line with obedience to God? So with that, I'm going to stop and turn it over to, I believe, Kathy.
Well, hello. Good morning. Hey, just do it.
Just do it.
Just do it. Well, thank you, Sister June Rogers, for that lesson. Very interesting. Can't wait to hear more next Saturday.
Okay.
Okay, well, thank you. All right. Hey, go get yourself some coffee, because on the other side of this song, we're going to start our worship service. All right?
We give you glory. We give you all.
Amen. Good morning. Need everybody in the service to press 1. Got a lot of listeners. Can't find you. You're lost. Press 1 if you're in the service today. Okay, we got 1. We need somebody for scripture reading. There we go. Okay, if you're in the service today, need you to go ahead and press 1 so we can find you. Okay, I turn you over to Kathy.
All right. And nobody like you, Lord. He woke us up this morning. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Wonderful Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Runner for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Runner for Christ Ministries, we believe it's vital. And the word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have this morning to help us do so is our very own brother Deacon Eric Reed. Good morning.
Good morning to you, everyone else. Good morning to you all. We're going to get right with it, and we're going to give you some little advice on how to live the new life. Since you have been raised to new life with Christ, set your sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. And when Christ, who is your life, is revealed to the whole world, you will share in all his glory. So put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, and evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Because of these sins, the anger of God is coming. You used to do the things when your life was still part of this world. But now is the time to get rid of anger, rage, malicious behavior, slander, and dirty language. Don't lie to each other, for you have stripped off your old sinful nature and all its wicked deeds. Put on your new nature and be renewed as you learn to know your Creator and become like Him. In this new life, it doesn't matter if you are a Jew or a Gentile, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbaric, uncivilized, slave, or free. Christ is all that matters, and he lives in all of us.
Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourselves with tender-hearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds us all together in perfect harmony. And let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, you are called to live in peace and always be thankful. All right, let's lift our heads up to the Lord, and we're going to give a brief prayer so we can continue on to service. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity once again to offer up to you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. Lord, we thank you for your life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. We ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are listening to you by your people in this service. Lord, we ask that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. We ask that you bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey. We ask that Jesus Christ be lifted in songs, prayers, and preached words so that all those who are lost will be found. And dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name we ask these blessings. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Deacon Reed. You enjoy your day.
Thank you, and you do the rest. You do the same, and everyone else. Thank you. Peace and love to you all.
Good deal. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own Shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Father, I just want to stop for a minute and just say I love you. Just want to tell you thank you just for being patient with me and just for giving me another chance. You've always been there for me, and you were the father that I never knew. I just want to say.
My hands were made to worship you. My heart, my key.
Paradise.
When I see your face,
when you call for me, Father. You'll wipe every tear, Father.
Begin.
And this is what he'll say.
Welcome.
How many want to see him someday?
Oh, don't play with me.
How many of you want to see him one day? Open up your mouth and say hallelujah.
My life, my love, my all, I give you. Amen. He gave us his life. He gave us his love. And on that cross, he gave us his all. And then he woke up on Sunday morning, raised up by his Father. Amen. Got up out of the grave. So stone rolled away so that we could see he wasn't there, not so he could get out. But he did what he said he would do. He sacrificed his life, amen, so that we could experience God's love. But to get that, he had to give his all. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 9 says that whether we are here in this body or whether we are away from it, we make it our goal to please him. Amen. And since Jesus did so much for us, we ought to surrender to him and make him or give him our always.
You know I've had
race.
And he raised every day. Jesus, you are my everything.
The cross.
The cross you did that just for me.
So whatever.
So whatever you take me through.
I promise.
Since that day I cried your name.
For every time.
For every time you brought me through.
I make this promise.
I promise you.
I'll spend.
I'll spend my whole ways with you.
Did he say he'll never leave you? Did he say he'll never forsake you? How many of you believe it? Let me hear you in here. Let you down, right?
Whoa.
He'll catch every tear. So if you know him to be your father and he cares for you, come on and stand on your feet.
Whoa.
And help me pray for him in here. Come on.
Pastor, once again, you took us there, and we just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear, back in the saddle, our very own man of God, Minister John McFaul, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the altar and prepare to receive Minister John McFaul. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
There was a blind man on the roadside, and he heard a commotion. Yeah. It was Jesus passing by with the crowd, and he stirred his emotions. Oh, he didn't display his whole life. Should he even try?
Good morning, my Runner for Christ family and all my brothers and sisters in Christ. Good morning to you. I am back in the saddle. I thank you for Pastor O and First Lady Sheila and for Kat introduced to me. Let's pray our hearts and our minds before the Lord on this day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and we will rejoice and be glad in it, because we know that we woke up this morning and someone else didn't. So we must thank God for this day. Father God, we come before you on this morning, open up our hearts and minds and our cares and concerns before you on this day. Father, I don't know what everybody is going through, but you do. And that's enough for me to come before you on their behalf. Father, I pray for our brothers and sister, Father, that you give us the strength to endure whatever you have us to endure, Father. And for those who don't know you, I lift them up before your throne, Father, asking that you forgive them for their sins, that they will somehow, through radio or TV or whatever, come to know you as Lord and Savior. Father, the world is going crazy out here. We see it every day. And we need you. We need your guidance. We need your protection, Father. And we need to know that you have never left us. Your word said that you would never leave us nor forsake us. We are the problem. We leave you. So, Father, we come before you asking prayer for our families, all of our relatives, our parents. Because we know that there's a lot of them that's not saved. And we see them every day. We need to be the example you have called us to be for you, Father God. In Jesus' name. We pray for all our ministers, all our deacons, all those that's a part of making your service work for you, Father. Give us for our sins. Help us to be better Christians and better examples for you, Father God. As we continue to go throughout this day, let's be reminded of who gave us this day. Father, this is the day that you have made. Let us be mindful of it, Father. Open up our hearts before you on a daily basis. Be honest. Let us be honest with you, because you know our cares and concerns anyway. So, Father, we thank you for this day. Bless your people. Continue to bless Running for Christ Ministries as they continue to reach out to the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Father, I thank you for this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
It belongs to me. Salvation belongs to me. And I have everything to make salvation complete. 'Cause I know the work is already done by the power of his blood. I know it's mine. It belongs to me.
That song, Everything You Have For Me Is Mine. Salvation belongs to me. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Minister McFaul, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you and just have a great day. All right? Hey, so far, are you having a great time this morning? I hear you. Thank you. Thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship service, to be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, the joy, and the blessings. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God, the best part, icing on the cake. The next voice you will hear following this song selection is man of God, Brother Elder Joseph Stevens. Let's prepare to receive Elder Joseph Stevens coming his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
The outpouring of your spirit, till I can't take no more. I need you, Lord, right now. I cannot move on without you. Do like you did way back when. I need you, Lord, right now. Fill me up again.
Fill me up again. Fill me up again, Lord. Fill me and refill me. Fill me over and over and over again. Father God, we just thank you for filling us. Filling us with your word. Filling us with your Holy Spirit. Filling us with your will and your desire. Filling us with everything we need to walk in your purpose, your will, and your plan for each one of our lives. Father God, we bless and praise your holy name. Father God, we just thank you for filling, refilling, and refilling again and again and again. Father God, fill us with your love. Fill us, Lord. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your love. Fill us with kindness, love, mercy, compassion, and concern for others. Fill us, Lord, because in this day and time, we need every filling we can get so we can go out and be proper representatives of you, that we may glorify your holy name. Father God, we just bless you, we praise you, and we honor you, and we thank you. Father God, we thank you for the privilege of bringing your word once again. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Father God, we just thank you. Good morning. We thank you. Father God, thank you. Good morning, Pastor O, Sister Sheila, Running for Christ Ministries, Blog Talk Radio. Reverend Gerald, I thought I was through with talking about Paul. However, God didn't give me anything else, and he didn't give me this till the wee hours of the morning. And, you know, for weeks I have been talking about Paul for the last few months, right, really. We've gone through the book of Acts. We've been discussing Paul's evangelistic, missionary, his church building, and all of the suffering and attempts on his life, and everything that he went through. But he stayed steadfast to God's purpose, plan, and will for him. Let's talk about it. Paul had wanted to go to visit Rome for a long time, but he wrote to them, encourage them through their trials and tribulations until God allowed them to get there. Romans is the sixth of Paul's letters written from Corinth about 58 A.D., between 58 A.D. and 60 A.D. And it was sent to Rome by, guess who? A woman, Phoebe. Romans 16:1-2 says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe, who is a deacon in the church of Caesarea. Welcome her in the Lord as one who is worthy of honor among God's people. Help her in whatever she needs, for she has been helpful to many, and especially to me. New Living Translation. You know, the theme of Romans is this. Romans is first in order of the epistles, both doctrinally and in canonical order, and rightly so, for it contains the fundamentals of Christian education. Until its lessons are learned, ignorant of true Christian principles. Did you hear that? Until its lessons are learned, we are ignorant of true Christian principles. It is the very foundation of church teaching, and if we are wrong in understanding here, we shall be wrong everywhere else. The great theme is the revelation of God's wrath against sin and the righteousness through faith as the grounds of justification. Romans makes the whole world guilty before God and in need of salvation through Jesus Christ. And that's according to the Gate Commentary. I cannot cover everything in Romans. I hope to encourage you today to read and study chapters 1 through 16. Be blessed, be challenged, and be encouraged. Paul did not start the church in Rome, but he did write a powerful letter and epistle to the Roman church. He arrived in Rome in Acts 28:14 and thereon. He was under house arrest and continued to preach
He urgently presented all matters of the kingdom of God. He explained everything about Jesus Christ. His door was always open. Verse 32, Message Translation. And we remember that he went in front of every high official in Rome and preached the gospel to them too. Romans 1:16 says, "For I am not ashamed of this good news about Christ. It is the power of God at work, saving everyone who believes, the Jews first and also the Gentiles." New Living Translation. Subject, we are not ashamed. We are committed. We are not ashamed. We are committed. Today, we need to walk and teach with the boldness of Paul. We cannot be silent in this sin-sick, dying world. We cannot be silent with relatives and friends around us that are going to die and go to hell if they do not accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Did you hear that? Go into all the world and teach, baptize, compel them to come, make disciples. And I want to ask the question, why do we hesitate to evangelize? Why do we hesitate to make disciples? Why do we hesitate to share the word? Well, Paul was not perfect. You remember back in Romans chapter 7, verses 13 to 25, he talked about, I want to do what's right, but I don't do it. I do what I hate. I know what I'm doing is wrong. I want to do what is right, but I choose the wrong thing all the time. I add it to all the time because sometimes I feel that way. You may feel that way too, but there's hope for each one of us. Romans 7:24 and 25a says, "Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death?" Thank God. The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. New Living Translation. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law. But because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. So we are without excuse in the furtherance of the gospel today because Paul was not perfect. Paul was not Jesus Christ. Paul went on to witness. Paul went on to encourage. Paul went on to compel men and women, both Jews and Gentiles, to come to the saving power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, thank God for chapter 8 and the many other verses in Romans. Romans 8:1-2 says, "So now there is no condemnation for those who belong to Christ." 2, "And because you belong to him, the power of the life-giving Spirit has freed you from the power of sin that leads to death." No condemnation. No condemnation. No condemnation. We belong to Christ Jesus. We are justified and counted righteous in Christ Jesus before God. Remember, our natural righteousness is as filthy rags. Romans 1:17 says, "For in it, the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith." The just. Who are the just? Those that have been justified in and through Christ Jesus. In and through Jesus' sacrifice on the cross. Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes by hearing." That is, hearing the good news about Christ. The point is, before you trust, but unless Christ's word is preached, there is nothing to listen to. That's the Message translation of Romans 10:17. Let's say that again. The point is, before you trust, you have to listen. But unless Christ's word is preached, there's nothing to listen to. Oh, my God. Let's find out what some of the blessings in Christ are in Romans, according to Romans 8:1. We have redemption in Christ Jesus, Romans 3:24, 1 Corinthians 1:30. We have freedom from condemnation, Romans 8:1. We have spirit of life, Romans 8:2. We have the love of God in us, Romans 8:39, 1 Timothy 1:14. We have the truth of God's word, Romans 9:1. And we have unity, Romans 12:15 and Galatians 3:28. And that's according to the Day Commentary. No condemnation in Christ Jesus. Paul wanted all people, Jews and Gentiles, to be freed from the power and death of sin. What do we want for people today in our time? What do we want? Paul traveled throughout many Gentile cities, preaching to the Jew first and then the Gentile. Paul was walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh, what he talked about in Romans 7. But Romans 8:31 and 32 says, what shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? That's powerful in of itself. If God is for us, who can be against us? We know there are some that's against us. We know there are some against us, but we're not going to dwell on that. We're going to talk about what God does. Look at God set it up. When you go back about to the 26th verse, he says the Holy Spirit helps us in our weakness. We do not know what to pray or how to pray. The Holy Spirit prays for us with groanings without expressed words or with words that God knew in advance. He knew us in advance. He chose us to become like Christ Jesus or like Jesus, the firstborn among many brothers and sisters. Verse 32, since he did not spare even his own son, but gave him up for us all, won't he also give us everything else? New Living Translation. And you know, scripture says, seek first the kingdom of God. And all these things, all the things we need will be added unto us. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound, he talked about back in chapter 6? Answer is no. We don't continue in sin even though God's grace is available to us. We value Jesus' death, Jesus' sacrifice so much, and we are baptized and buried with Jesus that we don't practice sin. We don't continue in sin that grace may abound. But when we need grace, it is available for us. Romans 8:38 and 39. And I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. That's powerful in and of itself. Nothing can separate us from God's love. And look at the things he talks about, neither death nor life, angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that is the New Living Translation. And if you go back to Romans 8:35, it talks about who shall separate us from the love of Christ. Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Not who shall keep Christ from loving us, but who or what shall keep us from loving him? This is the true idea. For the things listed here might affect people, but not Christ. If we will not permit them to affect our life, our love for Christ, then we are safe from all dangers of backsliding, according to Day Commentary again. But I believe and I know if all of those things cannot separate us from the love of God, it's only one thing that can. And that's our failure to repent and accept Jesus as Lord and Savior. We can't blame it on anything or anybody else. From heaven above, below, if we fail to completely receive the love, the grace, and the salvation of God, it will be our fault. Romans 8:39. One who lives and walks in the Spirit according to Day will not be separated by any of the 17 things of Romans 8:35 to 39 any more than he will be moved to commit the 17 things of Galatians 5. 19 and 21. Go back and read those. The secret of victory and absolute assurance for the believer is to walk as taught in Romans 6, 14 to 23, 8, 1 to 13, and then Galatians 5, 16 to 26. Romans 15, 13 says, I pray that God, the source of hope, will fill you completely with joy and peace because you trust in him. Then you will overflow with confident hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul assured the people that he wanted them to enjoy the joy and peace he had found in his relationship with Jesus. And we have confident hope, which is found through our comforter, our lead, our guide, the Holy Spirit. Romans 15:15 says, even so, I have been so bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is to remember, is this reminder, I'm sorry. Even so, I have been so bold enough to write about some of these points, knowing that all you need is this reminder. And that's the New Living Translation also. But when you go to verse 14 and then 16 to 20, 14 says, I am fully convinced, my dear brothers and sisters, that you are full of goodness, not their own personal goodness, not their own fleshly goodness, but when we belong to Jesus, we are full of God's goodness. You know these things so well, you can teach each other about them. We can teach each other. We can encourage each other. We can bring hope and enlightenment to each other. Paul encouraged them to teach others about the hope, joy, and peace found in a personal relationship with Jesus. 16, I am a special messenger from Christ Jesus to you Gentiles. I bring you the good news so that I might present you as an acceptable offering to God, made holy by the Holy Spirit. 17, so I have reason to be enthusiastic about all Christ Jesus has done through me in my service to God. What's your service to God then? Has been your service to God. 18, yet I dare not boast about anything except what Christ has done through me, bringing the Gentiles to God by my message and by the way I worked among them. 19, they were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. Let me say that again. They were convinced by the power of miraculous signs and wonders and by the power of God's Spirit. Now, I believe in signs and wonders for today. And I also believe in the power of the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we show the power of the Holy Spirit to each other. More try to show it and the miraculous signs and wonders which come by and through the Holy Spirit to those that need Jesus as Lord and Savior. And then it's 19 continues to say, in this way, I have fully presented the good news of Christ from Jerusalem all the way to Iconium. 20, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard. Who have we told about the name, the good news of Jesus Christ, where it has never been heard, or to whom it has never been heard? Let me say that verse in total. 20, my ambition has always been to preach the good news where the name of Christ has never been heard, rather than where a church has already been started by someone else. New Living Translation. Preach, teach, evangelize where the gospel has not been heard. That's our task today, church. It's time to go, and lo, I am always with you. We need to stop evangelizing, witnessing. Yes, we are to encourage and exhort each other up unto every good word and work in Christ Jesus. But it's time for us to stop evangelizing in the church. It's time to stop evangelizing and witnessing to each other in the church while sin-sick souls are dying and going to hell outside of the four walls of the building. Wow, everyone we meet, ever we go, since we are the church, not the building, since we as individuals are the church, we need to go to those that need to hear the word. We need to plant a seed. We need to water a seed that's been planted. We need to trust God for the increase. But God is waiting on us to do all of the above. I'm eager to visit you, Paul went on to say. I am planning to go to Spain, and when I do, I will stop off in Rome. That was Paul's plan. But remember, Paul had to go to Jerusalem first. And then he went on to tell them, watch out for people coming in to teach what we have not. Romans 15, 25. But before I come, I must go to Jerusalem to take a gift to the believers there. New Living Translation. And Paul told and encouraged them to join in the struggle and to pray for him. Pray that he would be rescued from those in Judea. Pray that then by the will of God, that he would be able to come to Rome with a joyful heart and to pray for the furtherance of the gospel being spread to both Gentiles and Jews. Romans 15:33 says, and now may God, who gives us his peace, be with you all. Amen. New Living Translation. Romans 16:25 says, and now all glory to God, who is able to make you strong. New Living Translation. And then Romans 16:27 says, all glory to the only wise God through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. So we have been encouraged in the past weeks and months that Luke wrote the book of Acts, but he gave accurate account of everything that Paul and all of those that assisted him, what they did, what they went through to further the of Jesus Christ to both Jews and Gentiles. Paul did not start the Roman church, but Paul wrote powerful words of encouragement to the Roman church. There will be places God sends us that we did not start, that we won't even be part of, but we are to carry the gospel and to be salt and light to a sin-sick, dying world, that they will know salvation, the power of God's grace, power of God's love and mercy in their lives, because we share the word, that because we may have given a smile and opened the door to give an encouraging word and a challenging word, and that we will operate in God's plan of salvation, that others will see the light and come to him, and let the church say amen. Amen, Brother Gerald.
Well, amen. Amen. Can you hear me, Elder Justin? Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, I can hear you, preacher.
Okay. Now, see, I knew I was going to get set up today. But you know what? It's okay. I'm not even really going to touch too much onto what you said. But one of the biggest things that stuck out to me this morning was the fact that we as a church cannot continue to preach to those who are already saved. Yes, it is our job as brothers and sisters in Christ to support one another and encourage and uplift one another, but our real job is to save souls for Jesus. So we have to take our witnessing outside of the church and outside of one another and take it to those who really need it, because those who are still living in sin but without having Jesus as their Savior, they think that they're too far away from the forgiveness and the love and the mercy of Christ. And so it's our job to get to them and let them know how far out in our sin we were, and then how Jesus saved us and brought us back to relationship with him. So that was huge. That was a really, really, really awesome sermon that you brought to us this morning. And so before you get on me, okay, Pastor gonna mute you, and then he's gonna come back after I do announcements, and then he's gonna bring you back for some closing words, and I know y'all gonna have y'all little conversation, but at that point, I'm gonna already be out of it. Amen.
Amen, amen, but you already know. You already know.
I already know. I love you. I already know. Well, good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday to all the Blog Talk Radio listeners, old and new, who tune in this morning to our Saturday morning worship service. We always want to say thank you to the pastor of the hour this morning. It was Elder Joe Stevens. Y'all know, one of my favorites. He brought an awesome, awesome word to us today. And as we know, he's always ready to bless us with a word from the Lord. And so we thank him for his faithfulness and his consistency and his obedience to preach the word of God to us. He brought us straight down from heaven, like Jesus handed it over to him and said, here, preach this in, like you said, the wee hours of the morning. So nevertheless, he was obedient. So we're so grateful for the word that we heard this morning, and we pray that those who are listening and were able to tune in this morning were blessed in some way by what you heard today. Amen. Amen. So Running for Christ Ministries is located at 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Bible reading class is held on Wednesdays at 6 p.m. Deacon Oliver Welch will be teaching this week in Nehemiah chapters 7 through 13. Be on the lookout for your questions in the email, and they will also be available under rfcm.org, which is our church website, under the Bible classes tab. You'll be able to find them there and then be ready to participate on Wednesday at 6 p.m. Also, every Tuesday here on Blog Talk Radio at 4 p.m., we know that Reverend Richard Overall, is here on Blog Talk Radio teaching in his series, Training Day. So set yourself a reminder each week and make sure to tune in at 4 p.m. every Tuesday. As you all know, we are back to in-person services at Run for Christ Ministries. So tomorrow, Sunday, August the 15th, already, it's the 15th already, Jesus. Tomorrow we will be having our in-person Sunday worship service, which begins at 10 a.m. We're asking that everyone who attends to please wear a mask, and if you do not have one, one will be provided for you so that everyone can remain safe during the service. You know, we've got seniors in our congregation and children as well that we have to consider. So we do appreciate your cooperation during these still trying times of this pandemic. We know we've got different variants and everything going on out there. So please, when you come to service, wear your mask during service. And if you don't have one, one will be provided for you. Our praise team, our awesome praise team, will lead us in our song worship. And Pastor O will be bringing us the preach word for tomorrow. And again, we're so thankful to God for allowing us to return in person to be able to see one another and fellowship with one another in the physical church building. Amen. Amen. So the fourth Wednesday of every month, which this month it is August the 25th, and every fourth Wednesday of the month until the month of November, starting at 10 a.m. To about 1:30 in the afternoon, First Fruit Living Ministries, Minister Shelley, who is the pastor there, Pastor O, as well as anyone else who wants to join in, is out in front of Running for Christ Ministries at the bus stop, praying with people, rededicating and restoring people back to and back in Christ, giving out Bibles and lunches and having conversations with people. Pastor says all the time, even with all of the free stuff, you know, that's being given out as far as the lunches and Bibles and things like that, people are asking for prayer the most. Amen. So people realize that prayer is really important. And some people feel like, again, they're too far away from God for God to be able to hear them and for God to do anything in their lives. But we all know we all have a past and we all have things that even today we're still dealing with. And we know, again, that we're never too far away from the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness and the love of God. So the fact that people come off of a bus and the first thing they see, even though they might be hungry, you know, is people standing, you know, there ready to receive them and they're asking for prayer, that speaks volumes. So for anyone who is able to attend, and make it out, please do. Again, this month, the fourth Wednesday is Wednesday, August the 25th, beginning at 10 a.m. If you're able to come out and be a part of this, please do. Amen. And speaking of First Fruit Living Ministries, Pastor O, our wonderful and awesome Pastor O at Rush for Christ Ministries, is scheduled to preach at the Night of Compassion Spaghetti Dinner Fundraiser for the free lunch and prayer event. Again, it happens every fourth Wednesday of the month. So that's happening tonight. The Night of Compassion Spaghetti Dinner Fundraiser is happening today, August the 14th at 6 p.m., and it goes to 9:30 p.m. And it is going to be at our church building, so the 27085 West Otter Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. The zip code is 42229 if you got to put it in your GPS. Your cost is $20 per person, okay? So we know that Minister Lachelle Anderson, Sister Shelley, is a part of this. This is under her First Fruit Living Ministries umbrella. So Pastor O is going to be scheduled to preach tonight again at the Night of Compassion Spaghetti Dinner Fundraiser for the free lunch and prayer event that happens every fourth Wednesday. Today, it begins at 6 p.m. and it goes to 9:30 p.m. And again, it's located at our church building, 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. And the cost is $20 per person. So if you're able to make it out and support, please do. Amen. Amen. So also every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn is on Blog Talk Radio with her own show, Back to the Family. Amen. And Back to the Family discusses the deteriorating condition of the family today. We know it's a mess today, but it discusses what's going on today and explores biblical solutions to bring the family back to God's intended purpose for the family in the beginning. And so you can find her call-in number on our church website, rfcm.org, under Christian Resources. It is a different phone number than what you call to attend our Bible classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio. So make sure you go to rfcm.org, click under Christian Resources. There is a phone number there that is different than what we use for our classes here. And there is also a link if you want to listen on your computer. So again, rfcm.org under Christian Resources, and you will see Back to the Family. Make sure to tune in every Sunday at 4 p.m. Amen. Amen. And so we have a new class announcement. I've been announcing this maybe the last couple of Saturdays, and it's entitled Get a Grip. And it's about mental health and Christianity, keeping it together when things go wrong. So have you ever felt like you were losing your mind? Okay, we always say all the time, oh, my God, I think I'm losing my mind. I'm going crazy. Well, such thoughts are natural given the temptations we face, especially during times of loss. But God has equipped with supernatural weapons to battle for your grip on sanity. So join us on Mondays at 6 p.m. starting on September the 13th. So it sounds like it's a long way away, but time is just moving so quickly. It's not. It's literally a month away. So put it on your calendar for Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. as we delve into what the Bible tells us about mental health. Each week, a new topic on the crises people encounter, such as illness, death of a loved one, or betrayal, will be introduced. Deaconess Dr. June Rogers, who is our amazing teacher at Run for Christ Ministries, or one of our amazing teachers, I should say. You heard her this morning teaching in the book of Galatians. You hear her do altar call. You hear her introduce pastor before he preaches. So she will be our teacher, and she will guide you and us through how people in the Bible and those living through our times have faced mental challenges. More importantly, you will come to understand how to prevail in these spiritual battles. So let's study together in this interactive course that shows you how to get a grip. Remember God's promises according to Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3, and Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, that minds and hearts focusing on and trusting in the Lord can and will enjoy perfect peace. Amen. So again, set yourself a reminder right now to join us on Monday, September 13th at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio so we can all learn how to get a grip. Amen. Amen. Also, a reminder that all of our classes and our services here on Blog Talk Radio are recorded, archived, but most of all, they are free. rfcm.org, again, is the place to go. Click on Blog Talk Radio tab, and you'll have access to all of our classes and services, again, for free, 24/7, 365, all the way from the beginning when this all started. So you can download them and absolutely make sure you share them with others. Amen. Amen. If you'd like to bless us here at Run for Christ Ministries with a free will love offering, if you're a member and you want to pay your tithes or give any additional offerings towards any of our outreach ministries that we support, rfcm.org, again, is the place to go. You'll be able to find all the information that you need there. In addition to this, if you would like to give a love offering for my cardinal, the preacher who brought the word to us today, Elder Joe Stevens, please visit church website again, rfcm.org, under tithes and offerings. You can give your love offering there. Please notate who it's for. Again, it's for Elder Joseph Stevens, and it will be passed on to him accordingly. Amen? Amen. So why do we pray? Well, number one, God wants to connect with us personally. He wants relationship and not religion. Two, prayer invites God into our circumstances. God is not unaware of what goes on with us. He is all-knowing. And nothing catches him by surprise, praise God. But God is a gentleman. He won't be forcing himself into your life, but he wants to be invited. So he'll stand at the door and knock, and he will politely wait for you to let him in. Amen? Number three, prayer is a dialogue and not a monologue. It is not a one-way conversation. For God wants your heart. So when you speak, speak from your heart, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks good things and bad. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in his heart, and an evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in his heart. For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. And the Lord wants to hear the good, the bad, and the ugly of our lives. So just give him your heart. Amen. You can never be too far from the forgiveness, grace, and mercy of Jesus Christ. And number five, lastly, we pray to exercise our spiritual authority. God will not do for us what he's already given us the authority to do for ourselves. It's like when we have our, you know, we have children. Once you teach them how to tie their shoe and we know that they know how to do it because we've seen them do it, every time you need to put your shoe on and tie your shoe on, I'm not going to come and tie your shoe. You can't come to me and say, Mommy, can you tie my shoe? I can't tie my shoe, but you've been tying your shoe for a year, okay? We're not going to do that. So God will not do for us what he's given us the authority to already do for ourselves. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12 says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Prayer is our weapon against the attacks of the enemy, and we have been given authority over him. So when the enemy starts attacking you, use the power of prayer to fight back. We use the word of God to fight off the enemy, as it's only the word of God that he responds to. Now, let me say this. Jesus was fully God and fully man. And when he went into the wilderness, Satan came at him three separate times. And Jesus, being fully God, could have handled Satan right off rip. But that was not his purpose. So what did he do? He spoke the word of God to the enemy. And eventually, after he got three whacks, on three separate times from Jesus, he went on about his business, and the angels came and tended to Jesus. So do not think that you can go through this life without praying and communicating with God, because if Jesus had to do it, we absolutely have to do it, okay? So why do we pray? Because we have the power and authority to do so, and because it's essential to being victorious in every area of our life. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verses 9 through 10, to pray like this. Say, our Father in heaven, may your name be kept holy. May your kingdom come soon. May your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The only way to bring heaven down here to earth in our space and in our time is to pray. Amen. John chapter 15, verse 5 says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 8 says, the Lord himself goes before you and he will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. So do not be afraid and do not be discouraged. And so we must seek God in all that we do. And he promised he will be with us at all times. So it's our responsibility to unite as one in the body of Christ and serve in the purpose that God has created for each and every one of us. Amen. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says, rejoice always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And so when you pray first, over time, you will find yourself praying continually. We ask your prayers, as always, for those who are sick, those who are shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated, you know, those who have received bad health reports, bad and discouraging news from their friends and loved ones. You know, there's always things to pray for. Pray for one another personally. Of course, yourself, our children, our nation, our world, you know, our leaders as they face major decisions that affect all of us. Of course, the many missing and exploited and those who are being trafficked and abused. Of course, pray for all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. And so, so much more. The list of what to pray for is endless. There's always something to pray for. So if we're always giving things to God, then we will find ourselves praying continually. Amen? Amen. So special prayers go out to all of our mothers who are constantly moving at Running for Christ Ministries, our mothers on the move. We love them so much. Mother Cheryl, Mother Louisa, Mother Irma, Mother Marilyn, and Mother Persia. Please keep our sister, Keela Freeman, who is in the hospital, in your prayers. Pastor John Mackey, it was so good to hear his voice today for off the call. Keep him in prayer. Tyrone Hamilton and Mother Cheryl, she gets an extra special dollop of special prayer. We know kids, depending on where you live in the United States or in this world, have gone back to school already. Here in Michigan, our kids have not gone back yet, but they will be going soon. We know there's a lot of controversy, mask, no mask, vaccination versus no vaccination, anti-vax, pro-vax, A, B, C, D, E, F, V, okay? There's so much going on. So that's why we need to pray, okay? Just make sure that you're thinking about the things that are important. It's very easy for us all, I'm speaking to myself too, to get wrapped up in the things that are going on in just our lives, but it really is about the bigger picture. And so again, when you don't know what to pray for, just ask, guide you, and to show you the things that you need to pray for. You ain't got to be all down on your face. Jesus don't want you to be in the corner praying 24/7. He know you got to go to work. He know you got to get your kids ready and take care of your household and do all types of stuff. But when you say little small prayers, thank you, Jesus, for this day. Thanks for waking me up. Thank you, Lord, that I can get in this kitchen and cut up this lettuce and make myself a healthy meal. Those are small prayers, and guess what? The Lord hears them all. Amen? Amen. So we must pray, especially for all those who are spiritually lost and confused, you know, those who the devil has convinced that God is not who he is. Remember, Acts chapter 1, verse 8, which says, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, which was back in that day, but in this day and time, it's your household, Judea, back in that day, but in this day and time, your community, Samaria, back in that day, but in this day and time, it's outside of your comfort zone to people and places where you wouldn't normally associate with or go and kick it around, and to the ends of the earth. Well, we ain't been to the ends of the earth, but, you know, we know that word travels fast. And so when you tell one person something and they tell two people and they tell three people, next thing you know, the word of God is going all the way around. You might not want to get to those people over there because, you know, those people over there you don't want to fool with. Well, guess what? They need the word of God as well. And so why keep a good thing to yourself? It's our job to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ so that no souls are left behind. Matthew chapter 25, verse 41 says that hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, not people. When you tell people to go to hell, you know, you really don't want them to do that, okay, because it was not for them in the first place. But we know that, unfortunately, some will end up there in eternal torment, and eternity is a really, really, really long time. This life on earth, as we know it, is short. God is not bound by time, but we are. Psalm chapter 90, verse 12 says, teach us to number our days so that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So don't force your way into a place that was not created for you. John chapter 14, verse 3 says, I, and that I is Jesus, am going away to prepare a place for you. And I, that I is Jesus, will come back and take you to be with me where I am. Amen. Amen. Psalm chapter 34, verse 18 says, the Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves the crushed in spirit. Matthew chapter 5, verse 4 says, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Romans 12 says, rejoice with those who rejoice and mourn with those who mourn. 1 Thessalonians 4:13 says, but let us not mourn as those who have no hope. Revelation 21, verse 4 says, he, and again that he is Jesus, will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. All of these things are gone away forever. So when you're lost and you're sad and you know are feeling a loss over, you know, a friend or a loved one, or even just with the loss that we see, hear, and read about that we're inundated with all the time, you open your eyes and turn on the news and, you know, heaven forbid, try to, you know, watch something uplifting and it's always something bad, you know, that tears at our spirit and it breaks us down because it's just a mess. And we know that people are leaving this earth and they don't have a relationship with Christ. So, you know, just use these scriptures as many others to give you strength and encouragement that only the word of God can give you. And so with that, we ask that you please continue to keep those who are bereaved and hurting in your thoughts and in your prayers. And as always, we pray God's comfort, healing, love, and peace upon you. Y'all know you are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden, and neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. I'm sorry, that's Matthew chapter 5, verses 14 through 16, in case you didn't know that you were the light of the world. Okay, instead they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And we know that blessings are not always in the form of money or material things. A kind word goes a long way. The gift of love is free, and a warm smile is the universal language of kindness. People ain't wearing their masks now, so smile when you can. And now they're trying to say we all got to wear our masks now again anyway. So get all the smiles out that you can get, okay, before we mask mandate again. So take time out to be some sunshine to somebody today, because as Hebrews chapter 13, verses 1 and 2 says, keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters, and do not forget to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing so, you may have entertained angels without even knowing it. Amen? Amen. So happy birthday, because it's the month of August, and so we got birthdays this month. So happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all around the world who celebrated this past week or who are celebrating today. You all know we send special love and birthday wishes to our Run for Christ Ministries family. So I have four birthdays this month. So Deaconess Danielle Mackey will be getting lit, turning up. Do they still say that? I don't even know. Anyway, on the 17th, she going to do it how she do it. Amen. My mother, Mother Louisa, will be celebrating on the 19th. Robin will be celebrating on the 24th. And little Tyrone Payne will be celebrating on the 25th. So happy birthday to everyone everywhere. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 1 through 3 says, all the commandments that I am commanding you today, you shall be careful to do, that you may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord swore to give to your forefathers. You shall remember all the way which the Lord your God has led you in the wilderness these 40 years, that he might humble you, testing you to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. He humbled you and let you be hungry and fed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that he might make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but man lives by everything that proceeds out of the mouth of the Lord. So your devotional today, how to listen to God. And this is by In Touch Ministries. So are you a good listener? I don't know. It's an essential skill in every relationship, and that includes our fellowship with God. Most of us are better at talking to him than we are at listening. We're quick to tell him our needs and requests, but are sometimes in such a hurry that we overlook consulting his word to see what he has to say. The sad truth is that many Christians would rather skip reading the Bible than skip something else in their daily routine. Yet, God's word is the foundation of our faith, and we need to feast on it regularly if we're to thrive spiritually. Daily consumption of scripture results in a transformed mind, which in turn aligns our perspective, desires, views, words, and choices with the Lord's will. Although every verse in the Bible is inspired by God and given to us for our benefit, we won't hear his voice unless we make his word a priority. If we ask, he will teach us to listen and help us understand what he is saying in scripture. Our spirit needs to be tuned to the Father, and this sensitivity develops through prayer, meditation on his word, and a submissive heart that obeys his commands. Amen, amen, amen. And those are your announcements. Amen.
Okay, I got everything twisted up over here. Oh, there we go.
Amen.
Okay,
amen.
Crystal, thank you. We appreciate
you're
you.
Welcome.
We appreciate
you're
it. Yes. Amen. Thank you for the announcements and for
welcome.
The sermons. And
right. Right. I'll have to do something about that.
And all that good stuff.
Amen.
Right, be thankful, be blessed.
Amen. You too.
And I like this new format. She was just nice and calm and showed what she can do when she's just nice and calm and not laughing.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Oh, she cut her loose. She'll get to preaching on you.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. We thank God for you, Pastor Stevens, and I know that you're dealing with a whole lot, and I'm kind of in awe of your willingness to go forward with the Word of God. You remind me of Paul and Silas sitting in the Philippian jail singing praise to God at midnight. Amen, and amen. If I didn't say this, people probably wouldn't know it. That preacher was on fire. Amen. Preaching like he got fire in his feet. Ready to link the train up and get it out of here.
We need, you know, every once in a while we need some fire, and people don't realize that how important it is to pray for ministers, preachers, elders, but more importantly for pastors and teachers, because their plate is really full. You know, so I just take my hat off to anybody that pastors a church and leads people. It's a powerful thing to be able to do. And I look back, and we often say, talk about Reverend Barlow. I'm the most going through a week with some stuff with him one week, and I'm like, Pastor Barlow, 20-some years older than me, how is he doing it? And
yeah,
I had to be through the power of the Holy Spirit because I was wore out.
I used to just stare at him when, you know, the last time we talked, and, you know, he was well up in the 80s, but he was talking as if, you know, he reminded me so much of Caleb, who didn't recognize age at all. He just saw the work and was ready to go to it. You know, that's what inspires me to this day. It amazes me how changeable, how adaptable he was to the times at his age to be that modern at his time. That amazed me, too. And he helped me out a whole lot.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, people don't realize how much reading and studying he did and how he went outside of our normal circles to learn different things and adapt them. And, you know, we say, well, we're just looking at a new paradigm and different things like that. And he would bring all that stuff in. But I learned something after his death, that he not only had a Baptist tradition, he was also raised in Cogent tradition. Hello.
Mm-hmm.
And
yes, indeed.
And the only thing that really held him back was the deacons. Talking about you ain't going to make this no sanctified church. And they didn't realize sanctified was set apart. Hello?
No, they had it as running around the church being happy. That's what they had it as. They didn't understand that.
They didn't realize it was set apart for Jesus. Lord,
I just had to.
Oh, we ain't going to go there.
I had to do a bio yesterday for tonight. And one of the things that came up was, you know, he taught me how to study the Word of God. He taught me how to do systematic theology. And that is what carried me from that day to this day, to sit down at the feet of the Holy Spirit and your teachers and have them to teach. Amen. Well, give us some closing words, and then I'm going to make a few announcements, and we're going to be out of here and on with the rest of this day.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you for your prayers for my various family members, and, you know, we've been going through, but we'll believe in God. And, you know, it was that song we used to sing back in the day, I'm Looking for a Miracle.
Yes.
Yes, sir, and I can't remember the rest of the words, so I better stop there before I mess it up. We just continue to thank you for this privilege and opportunity. When you first asked me to do this, I was like, why? Not me? And then I thought about what I had told God while I was telling him the same thing about not becoming a minister. And I was saying, why? Not me. But I'm willing to do whatever you want, Lord. And I thank you because it has helped me grow. And I thank you for just not me, but even the others that take part in this. I know it has helped us grow, and it's taken us to new levels and dimensions in God. I want to continue to encourage each one of us as the body of Christ to go beyond what we feel is enough, because God will always stretch us to do more than what we think we are capable of, and then he will always use us as we stay humble to do things just like Paul did. And we won't have to boast in and of ourselves, but we can definitely boast through Jesus and the Holy Spirit. You all continue to be blessed, continue to serve and worship God, and then continue to serve others in the admonition of God. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Preacher. Appreciate you. Have a blessed day.
And you do the same.
Amen. I want to say thank you to Deaconess June Rogers for her excellent introduction to and her discourse on Chapter 1 of the Book of Galatians as we just entered in, and looking forward to more of that. I want to thank Deacon Eric Reed for the scripture, opening scripture and prayer, and Pastor John McFall for the altar call. I want to thank that preacher, Elder Joseph Stevens, for bringing us a word and for doing the excellent work on the life of Paul, exampling for us how we're supposed to do it from the time he finds us until the time we leave here, so we can say, I fought a good fight, I've kept the faith, and now I know what's laid up for me. And I want to thank Deaconess Kathy Clyburn for getting all these folks together, amen, and working behind the scenes and being a presider ever since I stopped, amen. So I can't thank her enough for that, amen. Okay, now on tonight, everything's going to be outside, amen. The whole event is going to be outside. The only thing inside the building will be the food, and the food will be brought outside to the people. So we're looking forward to seeing you. It starts at 6. We're going to have a couple of other preachers on the program. Elder Reverend Pastor Everett Thomas will be one of the preachers, and she has another preacher on program. I'll be preaching at 8 o'clock, and she's asked us to be brief, brothers, be brief, and amen. So we're for about 10 minutes, we're going to just talk on an obligation to give. Now, tomorrow morning in our Sunday worship service, in-person service, I'll be preaching, and my sermon subject will be, amen, a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And what we've heard from Elder Stevens, I'll be borrowing a whole lot of that, as Paul was an excellent soldier of Jesus Christ. Amen. So we're looking forward to seeing you on tomorrow. See you on tonight if you can make it out. Of course, everything will be outside under the tent. Amen. Come on out. Do something different. You've been staying at home. Come on out just to be out. Amen. And help out. Minister Shelley is doing an awesome work. We're out there every fourth Wednesday, giving away Bibles. People rededicate their lives to Christ. People give their lives to Christ. One of my friends for years came there and gave his life to Christ. That is a powerful work. It's what Chris will be talking about, going to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, uttermost parts of the earth. We need to get that done. Amen. Tell somebody about Jesus. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. And now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and peace, both now and forever. And the church said, amen. Now be joyful.
Joyful. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Joyful.
Tuesday. Said I woke up to the summer, shining through. Calling all my friends, asking what's the move. Feeling a little different, I'm on something new.
Today,
I ain't gonna let no clouds get in my way. The only road I'm walking is the one I pick. Catch me sitting in the sun, no top of shade.
Today,
this is the day that the Lord has made.
Ooh.
And I ain't gonna let it slip away.
I'm gonna be joyful.
Got the feeling that you get when you get new kicks. Bell ringing on the last day of singing, yeah. High fiving everybody, but we out of here.
Today, today.
So fast, life comes and goes. Make it last,
best slow your roll. They don't take it as a choice, but you gotta know that today's the day. This is the day that the Lord has made, and I ain't gonna let it slip away, nah. I'm gonna be joyful. I got the joy, joy down in my heart, down in my heart, down in my heart. I got the J-O-Y down in my